To start my teaching today, before we continue to pray, please open your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 4. I'm going to start from there. The book of Romans chapter 4. Last time I talked about how hope is generated. And let me just remind us that hope is not a wish. Hope is not an empty desire. Hope is not something, you know, the way we say, as if something that is uncertain. The word hope means that something is happening, something is going to happen, and it is certain. For example, if I'm expecting rain, there must be a reason. And that's another thing I said last time. Hope always has a reason. Hope always has a reason. We said that, okay? Hope is not, you just wake up and say you desire something. Hope is something you expect, and that expectation has a reason. Hope doesn't just come because of desire. Hope comes because there is something that's predictive that you are observing. My best example all the time is, I may want to go out, but if it is raining, and sorry, if it's threatening to rain, I expect rain to fall, not because I want rain to fall, but because I can feel the breeze, I can see the clouds, I can see that the sun is being obscured by the cloud, and everything, you know, water begins to drop from the skies, you know, drops of rain. And I know it's going to rain. I expect it to rain. And that is what is called hope. Hope is that which I expect. Now, generally, when it's used in scripture, it is used in a positive manner. All right? It's not used blanket like that. It tends to have a positive slant to it. Okay? Now, let me remind us again. I said faith is before hope. Hope is not something you have, and you go and look for faith to make it solid. Hope is something you have because you have accepted that which is the evidence, all right? Now, on the positive side, hope is based on the word of God. So when the saints hope is that they've read their scriptures or they've heard the prophetic word, and because of the prophetic word they heard, they begin to have expectations. Do you get my point? That's it. Let me give an example. There's this book I recommend, I think The Power of a Praying Wife. Supernatural Childbirth. Yeah, that's it. Supernatural Childbirth by, I think it's Jackie Mize. Yeah. So I just want to be sure that I got the title right. That is the author right. She explained that when her husband asked her to marry him, okay, she told the man that she was not capable of having children. And the man said, why? And he said, the doctor said this and that and that and that, that she would not be able to carry a pregnancy. And Terry said to her that the doctors don't know what they are saying. He's not a doctor himself. He has not read the medical report. Yet he said that the doctors don't know what they are saying. So he disregarded that evidence and married her anyway. They had their struggles. They had their challenges. But by the time she was writing the book, she had 3 children. So she wrote a book titled Supernatural Childbirth. That these childbirths that I've experienced are not because of the way normal things are supposed to go, but because I had to obtain faith. Her husband taught her the word. They confessed the word of God day and night. She had issues along the line, here and there. But ultimately, she dropped the first one, dropped the second one, and dropped the third one. Before she wrote the book, Supernatural Childbirth. She taught in the book how to reject labor pains. All of it because it's natural? No. Because the husband said, this is what the word of God says, and taught the word to her, and together they took hold of that word, and it began to manifest in their lives. Now, that's what hope is. Hope is not something you want. Hope is something that you have evidence for. Do you follow my point? It has nothing to do with desire. It has to do with evidence. And on the positive side, I said, the evidence is always what? Answer me. There's no catch to it. The evidence is always what? The word of God. All of you are answering timidly. Now, I said, the evidence is always what?
The word of God.
Yes. The word of God, the promise of God, the prophetic, put any way. But that God said it, I believe it. And what's the next thing we say? That settles it. That settling is what we call hope. That is settled because God said so. It's what hope is. Is that okay? Please understand it. Hope is not the same thing as desire. We talked about that last time, right? Just recapitulating before we read this portion of the scriptures. Now let's open our Bibles now to the book of Romans chapter 4. We're going to read a bit of it. We're not too long. And I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. It expresses best what I want us to note today without being difficult to understand. I'm going to read from verse 16 all the way to the fifth verse of chapter 5. It said from verse 15, from verse, where am I? Okay, 16, sorry. From verse 16. It said, for this reason, it is by faith. And I was talking about Abraham, all right? But we just had to cut it from somewhere to save some time. It said, for this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also... Sorry, excuse me. I said I was going to read from where? The NIV. The way it was sounding, I need to. I had the wrong version open. So I'm going to start again from verse 16. It said, therefore, the promise comes by faith. That's verse 16 now. So that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. That is, whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, as long as you're of the faith of Abraham, he is the father of all. And that was promised, which is what verse 17 is saying, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. That is, those nations include the Jewish, the Israelite nation, and the Gentile nations. All of them, whether they are Jews or Gentiles, they are the nations that God was promising will come out of Abraham. Now it says, he is the father, is our father in the sight of God, the God whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, now that's why I'm reading this, verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, that is another hope now, against the natural hope, in another form of hope, the one that is inspired by the word of God. He says, sorry, I just lost, which verse? Yeah. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Now notice verse 19. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact. Now please, I need you to notice very well this verse. He said, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Now, the point is that he did not deny it. Do you follow my point? He faced it. He did not close his eyes away from what is going on. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, that is, through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Now, he says he was fully persuaded that God had had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will also credit righteousness, for those who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Concerning that Jesus, our Lord, he says in verse 25, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. We're going to continue reading, but let me just emphasize something here. What was Paul saying? That the issue of being credited with righteousness was not written because of Abraham alone. But this will be the portion of anyone, let me summarize, who takes God by his word and builds his life on what God said. And he said, though such persons, the first thing you notice about them is that they believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. They pass a comment on the death of Jesus Christ. But what I want to emphasize there is that that righteousness is credited to people till today. And there's just one reason. Because they believed in what God said. Have you heard this before? I've been young, now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his children beg for bread. Now, this is how most people interpret that. And even I thought so, all right? That anybody who does what is right, who's always doing good, do you follow what I'm saying? Did you catch that? If it works uprightly, but you want to hear the truth? The Bible didn't say that. It said righteousness is always how? By faith. It is not the person who you saw doing good, who was not breaking any law, that David said he has never seen his sin forsaken or his children beg bread. What was he saying? You will never see an Abraham who staked his life on the promise of God forsaken. You will never see the children of such a person beg bread. Do you follow my point? It's not that you do not break any laws. It's even the laws of God. That's not what he's talking about. When David said, I have been young, now I am old. He said, look, I've seen people make decisions because of God. I've never seen them be disappointed. We interpret that if he keeps the Ten Commandments, he will never... That one theologian actually said this. I want to quote a theologian for you. It's a very bad thing, but somebody said it. He said, David was either blind or he was lying. Did you hear what I said? That when David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, the man said he was blind or he was lying. And he was teaching theology and writing books on the Bible. You want to hear the truth today, in case you did not know. David was not saying, I look around for those who are obeying all the laws. David was not saying, I look around for the person who the society believes does not do anything wrong. Because David himself, he did a few things wrong. He had to say, blessed is the one whose sins are forgiven. David understood that the key to life is forgiveness of your sins. Do you get my point? David understood that if you want to survive, your sins have to be forgiven. So when he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, please, let's get it clear. The definition of righteousness is what they are seeing here. I said it last time, God has emotions. Do you remember I said that? You can make him happy. You can see the Lord going on the road, so to speak. I saw one lady today, was walking down the corridor. The first thing I said, what's the problem? I said, sorry, sir, I'm in a hurry. I have an emergency. You could see it on the face. I said, yeah, your face, unusually, was squeezed. I told her like that. So sometimes you can see the Lord walking down. Ah, you saw. What happened? You know what he will tell you? And this is what always happens. Something like this. I told my people they could enter the promised land. And they refused because they were more afraid of giants than they are being trusting of what I said. Did you hear that?
Yes.
That their fear for giants was more powerful than their faith in what I said. You want to know the truth? It makes him sad. Let me tell you something. Every day, in this our country, you know Pastor Kojo, I don't know how many of you saw one clip recently when he was talking about the cost of educating doctors in Nigeria, and you know it generated a lot of controversy. And now, for the records, God helping me, I stand with Pastor Kojo. Now, not as a pastor, but because I'm a doctor. And I know everything he's saying is true. Everything he said there is true. It shocked me that anybody could argue with him. I felt like, are you out of your mind? I heard that Association of Resident Doctors replied and said that the true cost is not the $500,000 he said, that is about $21,000. He was saying like $2,000 to five. Federal government answered them that yes, you are right, but 95% of that cost is borne by the government. When I was in university, now of course Naira has changed. Is that okay? The total fees I paid from beginning to the end was 400 Naira. Tuition was 36 Naira. Yeah, when I began, dollar was like 3 Naira. When I finished, it was like 10 Naira. So do your calculation. Do you follow what I'm going to say? So, as of today, a few years ago, as in the medical school here, the Enugu State Teaching Hospital, the medical school, I sat students there in class, and we together calculated what is required. What was required then, not now. That's about 6-7 years ago that I did that. In the last 10 years, yeah. Not just six to seven years, yeah. That's more accurate. We did a calculation of how much it takes to pay their doctors, their teachers. And I told them that to pay your teachers alone requires you people to pay 100,000 naira every month per student. To pay only your teachers, not your librarian, not your cleaner, not your registrar, no non-academic staff, only academic staff that will come to class and teach. We calculated it. So let's just be fair a bit. Add for the other people. There are other people that are not teachers. So instead of 1.2 million a year, just make it 2 million. That was like 7 years ago. And they were paying 200,000 thereabout. And you know the truth? The federal students were paying less than one third of that. About one third. They were paying 250, yes. The federal students were paying like 40,000. So those who want to know, please, don't harass Pastor Kwaju. You told the truth. Now, why did I go into that? God forgive me. It was the first thing he said. He said on social media, that's why I went into that. He said people are being programmed every day to hate their country. He said it's a form of self-hatred. That's why I went into all of that. He said every day people are being programmed to hate their country. He said it's a form of self-hatred. This is why I told this whole story. And they make statements like, let Nigeria not happen to you. I've told you, there are things... Now, please, I know people don't like when I say some things, but sometimes I don't think them much through, but the Spirit speaks by me. Is that okay? But other times, I calmly think about what I'm saying, then I say them. If you ever utter that statement as a child of God, God will come in opposition to your progress. Did you hear what I said? See, there are things you will say. God said, I will personally oppose you. What I said, and I didn't say from my head, I took it from the scriptures. He said, God said, you will know my opposition. And what was the reason? He said they could enter, but they said, we can't. And that was the reason it offended him. Let me go over that again. We talked about it last time. The Lord was angry. See, it's not whether they hated the promised land or loved Egypt or whether they committed adultery or they shot somebody. Those things were all bad. But the one that pushed him to the limit, that said, I will frustrate you in this your life, was because he said, you can enter. And you said, no, I can't. You look at him in the face and said to him, you don't know what you are talking about. I'm a human being, not God. There are things I've spoken about, things I know. And people did not believe me. I know how offended I was. I'm a human being who can make a mistake. Sometimes I'm talking to people and they argue. And the thing is a health-related thing. And I'm looking at the person talking, you know, arguing with me, who went to one or two, you know what they call, you know, websites, social media sites. You go to Niger blog or go to Twitter to go and hear one or two things. And then you come to my presence and be arguing how sugar causes diabetes. And I'm looking at the person and I say something like, and yeah, it's quite, what I want to say, I mean, it's very funny. I say, sugar does not cause diabetes. Hey, wait. And the person's arguing with me. And my own is that, do you have a brain? I don't think you do. Because if you did, the first thing you would have done is, sir, I know you to be qualified. Medical students queue in front of me, and I ask them what causes diabetes, and if they talk this nonsense, I fail them. And you stand in my presence with a half-done, that is, you have not finished, half-done bachelor's in maybe accounting, history, or even engineering. And because you went to one website where one juju man selling herbs is telling you don't eat sugar, don't drink coke so that you won't get diabetes, And you're arguing with me. You know, I just look at you and just, if I'm in a public space, you know, maybe I don't know you. I'll just go silent. And say, explain now. I said, there's no need for explanation. There's nothing you say. And if you collapse there of diabetes, I ain't helping you. Because if I bring my help, you are going to say, this is not good. A small joke. One day, this really happened. Years ago, when I was in one clinic working in Lagos, the doctor's office, the light went out. So the bulb was bad. I had a friend with me that night. He came to visit me, but because I was going to work at night, I said, okay, he's also a doctor. So I said, okay, let's go to work. So he and I sat in the dark room and were gisting, but the door was open. There was a patient in a private room just opposite. And the relatives came in at night. It's around 11:30. There's one woman who was staying with the patient. They dragged that woman. The woman came out so that the patient won't hear and started criticizing all our treatment. Not knowing that I was just... And my door was open. Just that the light was off. My friend was lying on the patient's couch. I was sitting on the doctor's table. Just sitting, you know, we're just gisting. But it was in the dark. She didn't know. She stood at the door. I said, what kind of things we gave? They have given this woman more than five. What? That's literally, I mean, colloquial words. Five, more than five bags of water or ten. It is water, 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 water. He said, do they want to kill her with water? She was speaking Yoruba, all right? My friend didn't understand the language. I did. So I just told him to be silent. I said, what she saying? I said, just wait. When she finished, calm down. Out of the dark came forth my voice saying, if you don't like the treatment, take your patient and go. There were two men that came, that she was talking to. Suddenly the place went silent. She didn't know what to say. She had said everything. She knew she was talking right in front of me. But I was behind her in the dark. This one said, ah, sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. Please, sir. You know, they explained. They went. Now, for those who want to know, she had a bad case of cholera. And that's how you treat it. Just by the way. Do you get, follow my point? You have to, she's losing fluid, you have to replace it. So, if you don't know, it looks really bad. You just like, we're just pumping, but you don't know. We're exchanging, we're calculating some things, we're exchanging the kind of fluid we're giving and all of that. But to the ignorant person, everything is what? Water. Why did I remember that? She didn't know anything. She looked at us, so to speak, in the face and said, you don't know what you are doing. So you know how I felt that night? Just think about it. Before the men came to apologize, while she was ranting away, God feels worse. Because you see, I'm a human being. I can make a mistake. My bosses may have made the wrong diagnosis. We may have not been given all the treatment necessary. I'm just giving you the possibilities for a human being. But when it is God, He doesn't make mistakes. He declares the end from the beginning. So if you oppose him in your thoughts, in your mind, worse with your words, and then your actions, he now gets up, wears his armor, and starts opposing you too. He told the people of Israel, you will know my opposition. Do you follow what I'm saying? Please, don't oppose God. He doesn't like it. Back to the matter of righteousness. So you see, when David said, I've been young, I am old, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed or his children beg for bread. He wasn't talking about that one who does not cheat in the market, even though we are not supposed to cheat. He wasn't talking about the one who walks righteously, does not bear false witness, even though we are not supposed to bear false witness. But what he called righteous is what I'm telling you. Because for God to count you as righteous, it is not because you think you are doing what is morally right, but it's because he said something. And to you, it became the final word. Do you follow my point? Is that he said something, and you decided that this that he said is final. David said, if you see such a person, you will never see somebody that's forsaken by the Lord, that becomes so poor or so frustrated that his children are begging for bread. He said, what you will find is an Isaac that did not go to Egypt, but dwelt in the land and sowed his seed that year because God said, don't go to Egypt. He said, what you find is an Isaac that same year he will reap 100-fold. And he will become rich and become even richer. Until the Philistines will start envying him because of the greatness of the blessing that God poured upon him. That's what David was saying. David said, when you find an Abraham that resigned from all, packed his load, and decided to move into the wilderness, and was journeying from one place to the other, simply because the Lord says so. What are the investment prospects in the place you are going to? I don't know. So why are you going? You know, the Lord said that. David said, watch such a person. Just watch his life. A time will come from his household, he will be able to muster an army. A time will come from when he wants to take a wife for his son. His servant will take gold to say hello. I don't know whether I get my point. That is, okay, let me show you where I'm from. Bring her hands loaded with gold. Load her, you know, wrist. When Rebecca said, I will go. It's not the Holy Spirit alone. Because when Laban, and of course that is her brother, and the rest of the household said that, let's ask the girl whether she will go. The girl said, whether I will go. Did you see how the man greeted me? Whether I will go. First, when I saw the horse, the camels, and for the man to say thank you, put a bangle here, pure gold. Thank you for the water, another bangle. Oh, you watered the camels also, bangles. This would look nice on your ears. The girl gained like 20 kg. Not of food, but of gold. And I said, will you go? He said, my brother Laban, I know you. If it's you, won't you go? Do you get the point? David said, that is what you will find. When you find somebody who built his life on what God said. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. It's not that, oh, that man never used to cheat in the market. But he was, that's why I refer to that comment by Pastor Kwaju. But he was as self-hating and self-loathing and critical of his environment. And so, you know, had such a dim expectation for life. And what God said didn't matter to him. David said, he will be broke. His children will beg for bread. God will be his opponent. That's what David was saying. He said, oh, you want to come and brag? I never cheated anybody. God said, you never cheated any human being. But there was never a thing I said you agreed with. And your refusal to cheat was simply childhood training. And your fear of the retribution from God that comes against those who cheat. Listen, in case you do not know, Jacob was not a nice person. Jacob used to cheat. You see what I said? There's a reason why God loved him more than Esau. Because Jacob, oh my father. See, let me tell you, no matter where your life is coming from, no matter what you think about yourself negatively, I'll give you a statement that will shock you. Well, it shouldn't shock you if you know the scriptures. See, before I make the statement, be careful when you are criticizing people from outside. Especially when you don't know they are dealing with God. Did you hear what I said? You know, Jacob is the kind of person you will have sworn he will never do well. Esau is the type you will have sworn that man, such a person is going fine in this life. But what you don't understand is that Esau was disliked by God. There are people you like, God doesn't like. There are people you don't like, God loves them. You'll be like, but he's not very straight. Let's talk about Jacob. God said, wait, come, let's talk. He's not straight. I'm mending him. But why am I working on him? See, as at now, if I say to this boy that you don't like, that this thing is valuable, even though it looks rusted, he will fight for it because I said it's valuable. But if I said the same thing to Esau, he will look and say, God, did you look at it well? He said, God, I'm not arguing with you. I just want you to explain to me when gold began to rust. That Esau is somebody that I argue with a lot. There's something I used to teach my wife, and I've taught many, when I'm talking to couples, I say it. I say, see, as a wife, if I have to explain myself to you, you are not submissive. Because a stranger will get the same honor if he can explain himself. If I say, don't sit down there, it's not good. I'm a husband, all right? And you turn and say, why? You've lost the bet. You've lost the blessing. You've lost it. What you'll have done first is, you take the next seat. The out of curiosity. See? What's wrong with that seat? You just want to know. You want to learn. But if you stand there and start arguing, well, it looks good now. Why not? Why shouldn't I sit down there? And the man has to explain. It is because you've lost it. If that was an exam, you just failed. Then finally you say, okay, you now sit. What you don't realize is that a stranger will have done the same thing, and that's exactly what you will have, how you have responded. So what honor does your man have there? None. Just a small aside. You know, Israel and I were talking here yesterday. I said, one of the things women don't understand is that a husband's word is a prophet's word. It's not a logical word. Sometimes 2 + 2 will be equal to 4. But the man says 6. And you are calling neighbor to come and intervene. And you call his friends to come and explain. I don't understand what is wrong. The man said, this one, we should do 6. But I've calculated it. I have a calculator. I even use my bottle. You know what they call bottle? Crown. I counted for him. Sometimes God says, you don't understand. A prophet spoke. You are trying to make sense. Small aside, please. Let me sit down there. I know you. Everybody there, but pastor, stay there. They never want me to leave when I get there. What you should do as a woman, and when God puts you under authority, pray all the time for the man because he has authority. Pray for the spirit to possess him. Pray for him when you wake up in the morning that he will say nothing today that God did not put in his mouth for me. Not going around from house to house. I don't know how my husband said, I said, I told my wife one time, I said, look, I don't want to have to explain myself to you. And you have to trust God enough that it will be safe to follow me. And by the way, for those of you single, if you can't have that feeling towards a man, I beg you, don't marry him. That's not our message for today. Okay, let's now go back to Saul, all right, and to Esau. Esau was one person God had to argue with all the time. And there's another person we talked about in the scripture like that, that God argued with, an angel, until the angel got angry and sealed his mouth. What's that fellow's name? Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth. So that let's not confuse with you, that Zechariah was a good man. You get my point? That guy argued with the angel until the angel sealed his mouth. And then sealed his hearing also. And left him a kind of brain fog. Left him a daze that lasted some months. Because his wife had received the strength to conceive. And the angel had to be explaining. After a while, exasperation, the angel said, oh yeah, it's enough. No more hearing, no more speaking until the boy is born. Zechariah's faith contributed next to nothing. Elizabeth had to, by herself, because faith, how does it come? By hearing. So what happened to Elizabeth? Was that the angel came and gave her faith. See, you don't just have faith because you desire that you want a new car. You don't want money. No, and faith don't come. No, sometimes you are sitting on your own, and from somebody will bring faith and give to you. Why do you think Mary didn't wake up in the morning and see her stomach swelling, and think it's the food she ate? The food starts kicking. Then after a while, she goes for ultrasound scan in Egypt. And they said to her, look at fetal movement. I should not give birth to a boy. Then she now begins to say, how could this have been, seeing that I know no man? Why did the angel have to come first to talk to her? Was to give her faith to conceive. Even though it's not recorded like that in scripture, I don't have any doubt. That same angel went to Elizabeth. It doesn't happen that Elizabeth will just wake up in the morning under those circumstances. And somebody did not give her faith. And she conceived John. So what happened? It doesn't happen. So God doesn't like those who argue. What God likes is, be it unto me according to your word. That's what the Lord wants. And please let me tell you again, that is what he calls righteousness. Do you follow my point? That is why when David said, I've been young and I'm old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. He wasn't talking about people who don't change figures. He said, this was not written because of Abraham alone. It was written because of everyone who we believe. Every time somebody said to God, be it unto me according to your word, it's counted for righteousness. That's the one David said, I've never seen them forsaken. Or the children beg for bread. No, no, no. Let's continue reading. Where do we stop? So let me just go back to 23, just to get the reading complete there. The words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us. I've explained that, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. That is, they believe in God. Concerning anything, not only concerning raising Jesus from the dead, but that is the primary thing. Now go to the next verse now, verse 20, chapter 1. Verse 1 of chapter 5. He said, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, so this faith is the power, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Now notice that word, hope again. We boast because we know that God is going to manifest something powerful and we are going to witness it. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character makes hope possible. Do you get my point? Character produces hope. And the hope that is thus produced, you must understand, in the midst of affliction, that is when God purifies people. Are you getting my point? See, anybody will seem to believe if they are not in trouble. The faith is only valid when it's in the midst of, it's not going well. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And that's what he was saying here. He said, not only so, we also glory in our sufferings. Okay, yeah, I've read that. He said, and hope does not put us to shame, because the love of God, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, I'm talking about hope, not about this now. Now, the hope that God is talking about here, as we can see how it came. How does it come? By hearing, by faith, by when God comes, gives you a word, it generates something in you called expectation. And that is called hope. And I talked about it last time. I know I'm repeating myself, but putting even light into it. Okay? Now, when the last time I was explaining, now, so this is what God expects from us. Build your life on what he said. Please, don't build your life on circumstances. Fish through your scriptures and look for something. Anytime he speaks to you, build your life on it. I'm going to give you a very funny explanation, illustration. Like if he says, Children are the heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is a reward. And it's a blessing to have a quiver full of them. Never open your mouth and say, the way this children is going, this country is going, the way this country is going, somebody cannot raise more than 2 children. God will oppose you. That's what I'm talking about. If one day you're reading the scriptures, like I said, was it on Saturday? Yes. I said, Paul wrote to Timothy, we're reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Is it chapter 1 or chapter 2? Chapter 2, right? Yeah. We're reading from 2 Timothy. And Paul said to Timothy, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and all of that. I said, it's something you go and get up and pursue. Make friends with those who value the word of God. And they can explain to you how to obey it. Please, don't ever be one that skirts around the word of God, looking for how to disobey it. Do you follow my point? You know people who don't like to obey instructions. For example, you go to a school. They say your skirt cannot be, they do it once in a while in university because people become so bad that they start wearing belts to around the, and people say, is this skirt or something? It's so short. So you are forced to tell adults in university how to dress. So sometimes they don't say that. I've seen it before. They've circulated in my university, give you the rules, and they want the lecturers to make sure they, support compliance. Otherwise, they will be in trouble. They now say, your skirt must not be above your knee. Now, if you're a true child of God, let me tell you, drop it below your knee. Don't put it on your knee. It's a bad character. Learn the Spirit. Do you follow my point? What is the Spirit? You understand what they are trying to do. So don't do so that when you now sit down, it will now go above your knee. Now, please, I'm not talking about how to wear your skirt. I'm talking about this principle of obeying what? Instructions. If, for example, you're an Anglican, you understand my point? When they say, at least Nenugu here, I know most of in Nigeria generally, they'll put a sign in front of the church, how not to dress. Don't do the one my son did to us one time when he was a small boy. Don't do it. I will go and visit my parents-in-law. He was very small that time. His younger ones were really tiny, but he was maybe like 3 years thereabout. So he said he wants to go and sleep in his grandma's room. So we said, all right. A little boy eating at 11 o'clock and drinking. Where would the drink end? Do you understand? These are the children. So to prevent that from, disturbing your grandparents' bed. Don't drink anything, no. No, he said, you're not drinking Coke? He said, no. Don't drink Fanta? He said, okay. He said, no problem. You're not going to drink Sprite? No, okay, no problem. No malt. We thought we had covered the base, like you said. And the boy got there. The grandma, typical of her, the way she used to be. Do you want Coke? No, my daddy said I shouldn't drink Coke. Do you want malt? My daddy said I shouldn't drink malt. Very obedient, very obedient. He was sitting down there, changing channel, watching Cartoon Network. Then finally, the grandma said, oh, will you like tea? He did not mention tea. Of course, he drank the tea. And baptized the bed, during the night, which was what you were trying to avoid. Do you follow what I'm saying? He obeyed the law. He obeyed the law, but he disobeyed the Spirit. Just by the way, that was what Paul meant when he said, walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. He wasn't saying, before you do something, do like this, what's my spirit saying? What's my spirit saying? That was not what he meant. He said, when you read the law, guys, look behind it. You should be able to understand what the Lord was trying to teach hard-hearted people. So, back to what I was saying. When you read the scriptures, Stop trying to obey the letters. Know there is wisdom inside it, and it's for your good. That's what I'm going to say. Know there is wisdom inside the word, and it is for your good. And build, now back to what we're saying, build your life on that wisdom. If it says, don't lay up treasure on the earth, don't go and read investment books that will explain to you the Bible does not mean not to lay up treasure on the earth. What it said is, don't lay it up. You stand it up on the earth. You know what you are going to do? Do you follow what I'm saying? Do you know you can get that? You can get the spirit right. Do you get my point? And then you'll be doing your investment and doing your business, and truth that you're not laying treasure up on the earth. Yeah, you. One of the things you say, you become a very generous giver. Giving will not bother you. Say, if you give now, you become poor. Say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Why? Because you said, I don't need to lay up treasure. In that context, it's about security, building up for tomorrow, like the rich fool, thank you. So, we said last time, please, I'm trying not to repeat everything I said last time. And so, what are we supposed to do? You want to excite the Lord? Please, go out, when you're reading your Bible, look for what to build your life on. Make your decisions based on what He said. Arrange your life according to what He declared. We said something on Saturday. Let me repeat it again before we go to the next thing I want to say. You will look foolish. Foolishness is part of Christianity. If all the decisions you are making are reasonable to every unbeliever, relative of yours, you have a problem. Yeah, you have a problem. If every time you make a decision, they are in agreement, not because they know the scriptures, just because you think the way they think. Let me ask you, just ask yourself one day, what radical thing have I ever done, self, because of God? You know, now, one of my friends, the son, my classmate, older than me, maybe just not more than 2 years, his son got married this last week. All right? I calculated the boy's age for my wife. I said, no, that boy is not a small boy. He's be like 29, my classmate. Like if I'm mistaken, it'll be like 29. We left school in 91. That's 30. Yeah, so it's 33 now, to be 34, the time we left to the end of the year. I said, they were laughing at him that time. Okay? He said to go and get married. A man, you don't know what they call poverty that time. If you're a doctor graduating in 91, you were poor. If you were not, your parents were rich. Your lecturers were poor, so how will it be with you? You. Your lecturers were very poor. See, one of our senior colleagues, one day, the wife had a baby. He was working in Central Hospital, Benin City. They couldn't handle, all right, because it'd be preterm. So they had to transfer the baby to University of Benin Teaching Hospital, special care baby unit, where we're. And they needed an X-ray. This bugger couldn't pay. I remember well. Our senior registrar, a pediatrician, that was the intensive care baby person, he shook his head. He said, a doctor can't pay for an X-ray. He couldn't pay. And we all understood. Where will he pay? With which money? Did he steal it? The baby was in intensive baby care, and he could not pay for X-ray. They were looking for how they would do, you know, trying to manage, and then, and it was not unusual. That's how all our lecturers disappeared. They cleansed. That is like, in the space of about 2 years, we lost nothing less than 75% of our teachers. Yeah, I'm not joking. No, we were talking about Jakwa. What are people saying? That's why I laugh at all of you. I've seen worse. We come to school and say, okay, you guys take a 1 month break. School continues. You come back, half of your teachers have gone. I was there. Not time, so it happened. Now that also, so imagine the fresh graduates now. Is my point? Now the boy go marry wife. See, I know him very well. He was poor. His wife was poorer. Because she was still a student of some sort. Why am I telling this story? There's a reason Christians do that. People of the world, I mean, when I was going to get married there, now, I wasn't that young. I'd done my residency training, endured the hardship. It was hard. When I decided to get married, So, there was one lady. She and her friend, they argued with me so much that what gives me the boldness to go and marry? Like, I said, look, let me not mention their names. I said, if I can't marry in Nigeria, how many people can? Not like I had money, but just I felt like at least I had hope. I had, you know, residency was going on fine, just finished, about to finish. Or I was planning the wedding as I was writing my project and all of that. And in fact, I was supposed to write two colleges. I didn't write the second one because I couldn't pay. This hospital will help pay for one. I mistakenly passed it. And once you pass one, you're on your own. They won't pay for the second one. And I wanted to write, I've written the project halfway. I said, this guy's not going to pay. I abandoned it. You're going to pay for it now. You're going to fail now. This precious money will not vanish. I said, I just asked a few questions. Is it important for my career and my progress in life? They said, no, that both of them have the same weight. It's like doing NECO and doing WAEC. Yes, exactly. One is like NECO and WAEC. I don't WAEC, so I just left the NECO thing. And it's helping me till today. Yes, so they come and say, oh, they want fellow of the National College. I say, no, I only didn't WAEC. I didn't NECO. So these ladies, one harassed me so much. I said, what is the problem? The girl I want to marry is not complaining. Finally, saw her a few years ago, about 3 years ago. I went to Asaba for Omiya's daughter's wedding. So I just saw this person sitting there. I said, I recognize this face. There's a name we used to call her just this. I call her, like a pet name. I just called her. She turned. Banky! I said, wait, let me bring the woman you said I could not take care of. After greeting her, I went and dragged my wife. I said, I told her, sweetheart, please come. I said, this is that woman you said I couldn't take care of. I said, I've not done bad there, have I? Yeah. That was about 22 years later. Yeah, 22 years later. I said, this is the woman you said I would not be able to take care of. I said, look at her. Have I done badly? I introduced that to my children. I've not done badly, have I? And I haven't. Back to my friend. Why did he do what he did? It's simple. Now, let me use my own words now. There are little things. He believed he had to keep himself on sexual immorality. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
He believed he shouldn't be burning. Now, to you, it may look small. But if that's the reason he did it, God said you will never be poor. To you, it may look like a small thing. But God said, so you went against the tide because I said something. Those are the kinds of persons, David said, I've never seen them forsaken. Or the children beg for bread. You want to have problems in life? I'll tell you how to initiate problems. Sit down with your uncles and your cousins. Let them explain to you what is required of a man in your society before he can take such a step. God said, follow them. Then you will know my opposition. You wouldn't believe it. When they map out their own rules for you, and you forsake my rules and follow them, there's no trouble. I'm waiting in front. Then when you have trouble, you go and pray to them. When David said, I've been young, I am old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. That's what he meant to. When you see somebody who say, well, everybody say, live here, move here. He said, but they said to us, because we have agreed to stay here for 3 years. He said, how much is the money? Where you would have said 50,000. If you move out here, you know it's 500 you will have. He said, but there's he that swears to his heart and does not change. So the friend said, well, what is it? At the end of the day, the guy sees a golden opportunity pass. Now, not because of golden opportunity, but why did he allow it to pass? And he says, because they told us in church that anyone that wants to ascend to God's holy hill, we swear to his own heart and not change. That I swore to my heart. I said, I'll be here for 3 years. Only 6 months have passed. Guys, I'm sorry. If the opportunity is still open in 3 years, I will meet you over there. And they leave. And they're all arguing and getting a lawyer to explain the clause that, you know, like I said, when you want to obey the letter, you forget the spirit. And God said, there's no problem. Everybody go. And it stays. And of course, as soon as they leave, you can see their phones change. All right? Their clothes change. A few years down the line, the cars, the mobility changes. All right? I mean, and this guy, now let me say another thing to you. Don't expect emergency breakthrough because you obeyed God. That's one mistake we make. We are waiting for test. You know, sometimes I listen to some messages. This is, I'm getting, is it age? I get very irritated when I'm listening to some messages. I listen to one. I said, look, this thing you are saying, people will interpret it this way now. I heard, well, I thank God the Holy Spirit will settle everybody out, all right? Let me just, it will sort everybody out. Let me just leave that. But I hear some testimonies. I said, look, this is the problem we have. We give testimonies that don't, that give a wrong impression of how righteousness works. That man was saying, if I don't give him that bribe, and I refuse. Do you know, brethren, they now, most times you will refuse, you will get nothing. Most times you will do what is right, you will get nothing. And nobody come and deceive you. I say, so what you now do something that is right. Say, they were cheating in the office, I did not cheat. And I say, hey, maybe I'll confess in the exam. You get it. See, all the cheaters are number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, and there are 50 of you that did the exam. Your name just showed up around number 35 for not cheating. And you're looking like, God of miracles, what happened? There's nothing that happened. It's called the trial of your faith. Nothing special happened. And they want to, you know, promote only number 1 to 15. You ain't getting the promotion. There's no done gun that says, my God, not came through another way. Your God is the one that kept you in one seat. He want, and by the way, he wants to hear one day in the next 3 years, not this year, whether you will regret that decision. The moment you regret the decision, you are as guilty as those who cheated. That's what he does. Don't ever regret doing good because he didn't pay. One day I finished preaching, like my wife wanted to harass people. She put on her status, righteousness does not pay. Her sister called her from America. Sis, is there anything? People were sending messages. Are you okay? They thought she was regretting righteousness. No! She just understood what I said that day. I said, don't expect payment for righteousness. It doesn't pay. Do it and leave it. God says, that's what David was saying. I've never seen anybody like that. Who's taking what God says as his reason for making decisions. I've never seen such a person forsaken. God does not forsake. What happens is that people don't look far enough. That one who stayed 3 years, they look for 3 years and they stop. They look for 5 years and they stop. They don't look for 20 years. They don't observe their lives for 30 years. No, a friend of mine, no, I don't have all the facts and figures, but let me just mention what he gave me as this that time. Years ago, he mentioned some people in Nigeria. Dig it. In this country. The one that are captains of industry. You know, there are people who make noise. Maybe your name is Kubana, and then you just be spraying dollar anyhow, and you'll be spraying naira. Uche Kubana, you know, that kind of thing. Whatever. You'll be spraying money, so people will be looking at you, you have plenty. Then you come, you'll be Uche chief priest, and you just be spraying money. And do you follow my point? They'll not call you, you are earning money. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, those guys don't have money. When do you see Dangote spray? If Dangote's grandmother dies, you won't see him spray money. The only thing you just know is that when his daughter is wedding, Bill Gates is on the high table. That's the only thing you just notice about something like that. That's what you just notice, you know? Bill Gates, his daughter is wedding, and there's a high table. And you see one white face there, you carry your magnifying glass to look at the photograph very well. This is not William now. Bill Gates. Like one guy said, it's a joke. Said, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Do you know? He said, relax. I saw Dangote's wedding pictures. I didn't see your face there. He said, oh, this, you know who I am? Dangote's daughter was wedding. I did not see your face. They buried Pope. We did not see your face. Oh, who are you? Now relax. You see, such persons, the people really are rich. Don't see them spraying money. No. That's the way they can walk up to that place and say, ah, congratulations. So, and they do like this. And they are, one of the guys will come and say, wire the groom 100 million naira. And they go away. Spray for money tonight. You can't finish spraying that one. Yeah. It's your friend's son that's getting married. I just feel like I'm making an impact in the boy's life. I say, what do we give? What do we give him? Just look. Okay. Give his wife a Land Cruiser. And maybe give him one of the houses in Ikoyi. And they walk away. These are the kind of people I'm talking about. My friend mentioned a few of them. Those guys that they hold it. Look, the banks are paying dividends the other day. Some of you got 10,000, 50,000. We thank God for your life. Some people got 5 billion. They did. And they are not even, they're not even on the board. They say they don't, they don't have time. I don't mean you should feel poor. I'm telling you that. But when I'm talking about it, that my friend was talking about them. He said, these are children of cat kiss. That's what I'm talking about. My friend pointed, he said, some of these people, when everybody was going to village shrine and all of that, the Reverend Father dragged them to church. They followed. They changed their name. They took the name of a saint. They were mass servers. They followed the Anglican priest to church. The youth group pushed them aside. This one is follow Yibo man religion. Following the Yibo man religion, the Yibo man used to insist you went to school. So his children had to go to school. They offered him some scholarship in their mission schools. And he struggled and struggled and struggled. And those children, one day, 20 years later, they graduated from school. They got a job in PZ. Got a job in Cabri. They got a job in civil service. One day you look back, they have not been forsaken. Not only don't they beg bread, they command bread for multitudes. Why? Because their father went against everybody else. Because this is what God demanded. People are talking about, is it righteousness? I'm not talking about, he went to the market, he's not cheat somebody. Is making major decisions about your life simply because God said so. That's the much review I want to do. For us to know that that is what excites God. Let me remind us again. Did you finish reading what I was reading? Yes, we finished reading it. Yes. We have afflictions in life. I think we should read this. Should I read this? Yes. We read it last time, Lamentations chapter 23, verse 21. And don't worry, let's not open. There he said, this I call to mind, or I recall. Therefore what? I have hope. Where does hope come from? Recollecting the promises of God. That's where hope comes from. We will go through afflictions. Let's open this. This is very important. Psalm 119. I need to read this. Psalm 119. I'm going to read about four verses from verse 49. Now, remember, hope is God's promise. That's where it comes from. Say, remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. That is, in them, you have caused me to hope. Please, let me just switch my translation. I want to read this for a reason. Remember the word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. Please note, I need you to notice that. That is, your word is my comfort in my affliction. That your word has revived me. That's my comfort. He said, the arrogant utterly deride me. Yet I do not turn aside from your law. Please notice this. Yet I do not turn aside from your law. I have remembered your ordinances from of old, O Lord, and by them I do what? I comfort myself. Brethren, we have afflictions. Are you getting my point? What does God say in the midst of afflictions? Recall his promises. Let me remind us again. Meditation is important. What's meditation? Put the word of God on your lips. Talk about that word. They say, this country, there's no hope for young people like you. And you actually get to the middle of the... I look back when I was a resident doctor. And I laugh. Because routinely, middle of the month, I went broke. There was nothing you could do about it. I had to go broke 15th, 16th, thereabout. By the 18th, all right, if you like, steal all my clothes and remove the fiber to one by one. You can't find anything inside. The reason being that I would have gone through it one by one. Because, you see, is this? I told you one day my wife said that they give me money. I said, I don't have cash. She said, give me cash now. I said, I don't have cash now. He said, but you have cash. I said, no. See, if you want money, I give you my ATM card. He said, no, you have cash in the house. Are you joking? Then she got up, went to where I kept cash. Even me, I was surprised. One day, Apostle and I were in my office here. I opened some, I brought something from my bag, and the check fell out. I said, I've not cashed this check. Apostle said, it's prosperity, sir. That is, you forgot check. You forgot check. That day, I said, my wife, how do you know there's money there? She said, I saw when you put it there. I had forgotten that I put money. That is, I just didn't want money. Like, I just said, okay, I just kept it somewhere. Okay, put this money here. I said, no. This righteous has not been forsaken. Yeah. Because those days, the one I did not keep, I found. How can I keep money? You don't find it. Then what happened? How is that possible? It was impossible. You don't understand my point. It was impossible. The first day, that was some years ago now. I've not worn a jacket for a long time. I used to wear suits those days. And I carry a jacket, I want to wear it. I wear it, bam. I feel something in the pocket. I tap it. And I say, I bring out money. Ha. I told my wife, I said, man, things are different too. Because if I didn't wear that jacket, there was, you know what they were doing, that naira change? One day, I don't know what I was looking for. I brought one cloth out. Yee! Thank God for what happened, that the MFLS plan was frustrated. You know, his counsel did not prosper. Amen. But, you know, I said, if another 1 week, I would have lost all this money. Why? I kept the cloth I wore, and I don't want it since. I told my wife, this righteous has not been forsaken. Why am I telling the story? Because there was a time the righteous appeared to be forsaken. Yes, that's what I'm telling the story. It was a time of affliction. But I remember, I'm giving you the testimony of God. I remember very well. I will look and I say, this future is bright. Why? I tell you, it's a simple reason. I say, because it is written, behold, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Remember one day I was going to church. Rain, oh God, rain, as rain taught you a lesson before. That was when the Lagos people thought differently from the rest of us. I entered a bus from Oju Elegba to drop me somewhere in Lagos Island. As we climbed the bridge like this, I saw the black sky. I knew the island was bad. And it was Sunday. I used to dress very nice. Not that this, like these days now. That time, I used to dress very nice. I on my shirt, tucked in, wore my tie. I had a waistcoat, you know. I was going to church. Had a Bible, had a book and everything. And I saw it. I said, yay. We go to, what do you call that? Is it that bus stop? It's not Marina. I should come down from the bridge. Is this CMS? Yes, CMS. The guy said, come down. I said, you can't enter this rain. You don't share your money with the Lord. Hey, this guy, you're serious? The guy meant calm down. I asked him, please. After all, you're not going home. From here, where's your next bus stop? I had to pay. I said, good enough. That was along my way. That was I was going. I just sat in the bus, paid him again. Finally, when I got to the other one, you know Lagos, man, it's not like Enugu. You know, I used to say to you humorously that for God to flood the earth, the time of Noah, he moved away from Enugu because Enugu is very hard to flood. Lagos, how many days the rain of Noah fall? The water was coming. Lagos, you don't need to form at 16 hours. They all living. By the time I got there, there was this thick layer of water everywhere. This was a TBS. When I got to TBS, water everywhere. And my fine shoes, you know it's church now. I took my fine shoes. I stepped into, literally ankle deep. I was soaked. And I looked, I was going to Muzan Center. I looked at this Muzan Center. I remember the AC there. That if you enter here, you will freeze. Because I was soaked to the bones. That was when I first stood in TBS. You know, because the TBS, the cover is so high up. Any little breeze, your whole body. I still remember that day. I looked to heaven. I said, dear Lord, you will have mercy on me. That was one day I felt very poor. I felt I was suffering. Yeah. You know, I felt very poor. I felt, you know, that day I felt bad. I wasn't angry with the Lord, though. I wasn't angry with him. Are you crazy? I mean, how can you be angry with the Lord? I just told him, I said, Lord, you have to do something for me. You have to remember. But you know what he was saying? Not in this Lagos. This Lagos is not good for you. You have to move to Enugu before I remember. Cha-cha, leave this one. Exactly what he did. All right? I had to come to Enugu to Brussels. That day, you know how I suffered? The real suffering was that as soon as the rain went down, I entered the next bus and went back to where I came from. I didn't go to church. Go to church. You go to church. I entered the next bus, went back to where I came from. I got there. The water was even worse. I got to the front of the loot like this. That was now halfway to my knee. I just stepped in there with my fine shoe. I just strolled. No, this is when I'm driving around. It's raining heavily. I just wind up, put down this, make sure the glass is clean, and it's raining. Back, back, they say, what's your problem? I'm listening to music. I'm listening to messages. I'll do the funny thing, because of the way my house is, I'll even drive right to my door, open the door, and enter the house, and leave the car under the cover. Called punish poverty. What was my comfort in my affliction? That's what I'm talking about. The word always gave hope. That's what I'm talking about. The word always gives hope. And hear the word of the Lord. Anyone whose hope comes from the word of God will never be disappointed. Amen. Anyone whose hope comes from the word of God will never, ever be disappointed. And will never be disappointed. He said, the arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. What does that tell you? They will always give you a way out. Do you get my point? What is the aim of their derision? It's to make you turn aside from the law. And you know the painful part? Sometimes I see people depart. They say, you know the way this country is going. I say, when did you start talking about the country? When did the country become your business for life? People don't start having ideas. Be careful when your ideas are exactly the same when it comes to solving your problem as those of the world. See, one major issue with Christians, no matter how stupid things look, they must have the ability to stay. They must. If you see everybody doing something, child of God, don't even think about it. Just go in the opposite direction for a while. Calm your head down. Let all of them get frustrated there before you even look. Is it good? Small aside, please, again, if anybody offers you a quick way to make money, hate the idea because it works. No, most people think about, they'll just defraud you. No, I'm coming from another angle. I'm saying because it works, that's why you should reject it. So if I give you, your name is Sibex, Abi. I give you I managed to look for $500 and I give it to you. You will double it in 1 week. And then all your friends come and show you their own doubled money. So why are you not doing it? Say, because it works. Tell them. If I was fairly, if I was uncertain whether it would work or not, maybe I would be tempted. But this guarantee it works is why I will not go that way, because I don't want to bring a curse into my life. You know one of the reasons why I will not bet, betting? You know the major reason? Because I may win. Before, it was like, you want to eat my money. Now. My reason now, of course, I'm not a betting person. Never bet in my life. I don't have time for such nonsense. I have enough from the word of God not to do it. However, now my understanding is that if you were able to guarantee me that it will work, that is the very reason why I won't do it. You know why? It's called quick gain. I must hate the idea. If you're a child of God, see, people lost money in CBEX. I hope you should not lose money in CBEX. You shouldn't. You should walk past. When your friend says, look at her, give CBEX my money, look at it now. Your friend tells you, and I've now bought a small car. Just invested, I rolled it over for 3 weeks or 3 months. Look at the car now. Tell him I don't want a lift in it. So that when he injures you, you shall be all by yourself. When he says, okay, we'll go in the evening, I'll carry you. Say, I'll go ahead of you. Say, I have something to do on the way. I want to pray at the bus stop. I'm not waiting for you. You must have the Bible says that to hate the very garment stained by iniquity. It's not whether you do iniquity. It's that garment, is it stained? Yes. Please, I don't want to touch it. There are some things, you see, people like, don't be tempted, you may lose your money. I am teaching you a new one today. That the reason why you will not is because you might gain more money. I'm talking about the arrogant. He said, the arrogant deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. See, Elder John, we're talking about, what do you call it? Spiritual warfare. Somebody was saying that, do you enter into the spirit and fight demons? That day, when they read out the question, I say, is that not what I was trying to explain? See, the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, the biggest prosperity and power. I said, no, you have to understand what the wrestling is about. Okay, when you enter into the heavens to wrestle the principality, what are you trying to achieve? No, it's simple. What? The truth that you don't know. You don't know. And what I've been anointed to tell you is what the real battle is about. The real battle is that they want you to depart from the law. So you don't have to enter the heavens and I cast you down. If you cast them down and they land on your roof, don't worry about that. Understand, the real battle, they want you to depart from the law. Do you know what Christianity is? I found out. It's the ability to stand. Everybody is passing by you. They are putting their money in one investment scam and it's doubled over. No, people are talking about when it will collapse. Was it Olenka or you? Yeah, telling me yesterday that some people said that no, they know when it yearly collapses before a festive period. Have you heard that one before? That they've now found out that it normally collapses. And actually what happened with CBEX, it's not just before Easter. And Ilea, that's Idel Zikabir of Fitri. There was one Idel that time. So Idel and Easter, you should have known it to collapse. You know why it normally collapses? People take their money to go and do festivals, so nothing to invest. Those who have invested, so it collapses. So next collapse will be Christmas, Abi. Christmas. All right. So another scam will start in June. And then so you enter and come out in October, end of, beginning of November. Once you are thinking like that, you are a sinner. That is what they want you to do, to depart from what? The law. So instead of entering the heavens to strike the principalities, come to your heart and strike their temptations. That's all they're interested in. People enter, they wake up at night, you're casting down at the end in the morning, they sin. And they think they fought a battle and won.
In the morning, they insult their elders. They insult the nation. In the morning, they lie to get money. Then at night, they come back. Say it's warring tongue, and they are scattering the principalities. They don't know what the fight is.
David said, "The arrogant deride me. Yet I do not turn aside from your law." He said, "I have remembered your ordinances from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself." What am I talking about? David, Bible says that encourage himself in the Lord is God. How did he do it? It's the same thing. He takes the word of God and recites it to himself. He takes the promises and recites them to himself. And starts saying, "This is my hope. This is my hope. This is my hope." Now, one more thing, let me remind us of. There is nothing in this life that God has not spoken concerning. There's nothing. Open your Bibles. Let's look at them. Let's see what he said about your life. What did he say about my life? Remember, we talked about it last time also. I'm just trying to amplify some things we said and then go into that teaching thing. I think we should rest on our feet. Yeah. For the rest of the time, we are praying. Please, there's no way better to pray than to have a Bible. Are you getting my point? Now, please, some people misunderstand me. Please don't misunderstand me. Is that okay? I am not saying the other ways we pray, we groan, we speak in tongues, they are wrong. The only thing I say is wrong about them. There's something wrong about it, the way we do it. It's when we harass other people with it, with our microphone. That's what I'm talking about. You come to church, you give a prayer point, and everybody scatters. That's not Christian praying. See, when we are praying together, are you getting my point? And an issue, we should know what we are saying. Please, as much as possible, somebody should be in front to give us the words that we should use. And it's very nice for us to say amen to certain critical words spoken, especially as they are lifted from Scripture. Is that okay? What I'm saying is this. The Word of God is alive. I had a woman teaching today, beautiful teaching, but I said that. He said, look, he said something to the impression as if the best way to pray is when you pray in the Spirit. Have you heard it before? You confuse demons. Like demons will not hear the language. First, how do you know they don't understand the language? It's heavenly. And where did they come from? There was war where? In my backyard. There was war in heaven. And Satan was cast down. So, I don't know. I'm not trying to say that he knows. But like it's not relevant. And like I always say, if he knows, then call. Do you follow my point? What thing you can't do? So I open my mouth and I say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Will he now say, he said he will not want. Let's make sure he wants. That's how to die early and go to eternal lake of fire before your time. When I say it, he moves back. Because the Bible says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The Lord is for me amongst those who help me. Yes, none the devil can do about it. What am I going to say? The best way, I have not seen a superior. Look, I've been a Christian for a long time, at least compared to some people. Like, didn't work here now. I've been speaking in tongues before he was born. And then that's literal. See, Joe, unless you were born, were you born before 86? I am very correct. I am very correct. I know what I'm saying. I'm not just there. I was talking to one doctor the other day. I was just giving some gist about my classmates. When we graduated, he said, yeah, that was before I was born. So I know what I'm saying. Even if you guys are looking at me like this. When you were in heaven, you couldn't understand the tongues I was speaking before you came down. So leave that in. And after all these years, I can tell you, there is nothing superior to having the word of God on your lips. It's when we don't know that something is coming to fill the gap. And let me remind you about the word of God. It's alive. Yeah, no. See, let me explain what I'm saying. It thinks. A scripture like this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, will be heard in heaven as the exact sum needed is 25,850. And you did not know. that's all you needed. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
You can make a statement like, there is none like the God of Israel who raised the heavens to my help. The eternal God is my dwelling place. And you now say, he has driven out the enemy from before me, saying, let destruction overtake them. And what they hear in heaven is that this is the amount of trouble. We need 15 mighty angels to rout them. The word of God is alive. What did I say?
The word of God is alive.
Don't be ashamed of it. Fill your life with it. Build your hope on it.
Now, we're going to read some scriptures here. Please, this is the end. That's the purpose of this, for us to understand what our life is about. You know, every day they tell us, you know, Sanwo-Olu and Peter Obi, they quarreled a few days ago. And I read news, I know this is that they're fighting over. I know. The only one is, Peter Obi went to, is it Harvard, and said something. Then, World Bank said, is it 25% of Nigerians will be poorer by 2027 or something like that? Yeah, what's the exact thing that they said? Something like that, all right? Then GDP will do that and that. Now, just by the way, small aside again. I belong to a chat group of my classmates, all right? And we are on every continent on this earth. But the active ones are apart from Nigeria. Some are from South Africa. There's one guy that roams around all the Caribbean islands. I don't know where he's from. A huge chunk are from United States and UK. All right? You know what I found out the most? Those who complain most about our welfare in Nigeria are not in Nigeria. Every day, they tell us how we are suffering. And the people here will be laughing and say, nah, this suffering is too much. I beg, this is my guy. They'll be laughing. They're laughing. And the people said, I need to move to this glorious UK. And they are mocking. Yes. One took a picture of pepper fruit. He said, I wanted to buy pepper fruit. The guy said, 3,000. He said, I'm going to UK. This guy who said he's a chief medical director, he could buy the whole tree of peppers, pepper fruit. Where I'm going is this, when World Bank tells you 25% will be poorer by next year, it doesn't concern you. They usually complain more about your life than you. Yes, many persons have gone crazy. Look at this country now. You know what's going to happen in 2 years. Let me just tell you something. If you want God to oppose you, be repeating those things. He has addressed what will happen to you today. No, it's the affliction you are going through for the sake of the... Abi? Yeah, for the... Yeah, glory, you understand? So, the Lord is your strength, amen?
Amen.
The Lord is your strength.
Amen.
Your strength, amen? Isaiah chapter 66, verse 9. I'll memorize it. Yeah. 66, verse 9. You should memorize it. You should memorize it. 66, verse 9. And declare it every morning. Dream of it. Then, okay, I wasn't talking to you. You are not pregnant. I was talking to Agadis. Do you get my point? Your name is Dewoki. The man of men, you know, the man of men, the husband of men. You don't get my point. So it works. You can use it to help somebody, but I wasn't talking to you. The Lord is good. So in the midst of everything, God has said something. That's what I'm going to say. Please, beware of news that go against what the Lord said. You know what he said in the midst of this time? In 25% will enter into poverty in 2 years. Open your Bibles. I said you should open somewhere, right? Oh, I've not said it. What are you saying now? Okay, yes, okay, all right. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, from verse 5. We're going to read verse 5. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Let's use the same version, all right? Okay, I want to read the NIV, please. Just go to the NIV. I just feel like NIV today. I'm NIVing. Okay, we'll read from verse 5. I'll read verse 5 and verse 6. Are you there, NIV? Everything is smart. Thank God for David Green. We all have it, Abby. And that's what life is about. Your name should be attached to something good. Yeah. What are you trying to do? My friend, will you stand still and say, what are you? If your wife get belly, you get belly. How did they do it? Did they share the carry? You can carry the woman, you can't carry the baby. When we were children, we used to be this nonsense, yeah. They said there's one woman, she was a witch. When she's going for a meeting at night, she gives the pregnancy to the husband. Then one day, there was now traffic on her way back. And it was time to deliver. Now the man born. And we believe this. Honestly, do you know we believe that nonsense? He said, there was hold up coming back from which. She was supposed to arrive maybe around 3 a.m. Labor was supposed to start by 5. Now the woman entered labor. The man entered labor. Deliver by 7. And you know, we believe. The Lord is good. Do you have your NIV open?
Yes, sir.
Hebrews chapter 13. Now, verses 5 and 6. All right, 1, 2, let's go. Keep your lives free from the love. Hey, wait. Read it now, everybody. 1, 2, let's go. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Now, we are going to read it again this time around. It can be that loud, but you are meditating upon it. Let's go. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? This is what God said about 25% becoming poorer in 2 years' time. You know, why people start grabbing money is because they believe 25% will become poorer. The Bible says, don't let that happen to you. Say, your salary is not worth what it used to be worth 3 years ago. God said, go for eternal wisdom on how to make it enough for you to spend. Do you get my point?
Yes.
See, let me tell you something here. Learning how to manage is not against the will of God. I've seen people say to me that, look, by faith, those days, okay, let me use today's terminology. That they saw a shirt for 5,000. They could buy it, but they said, no, it's the one they are selling for 50,000 they are going to buy. You want to, by faith, buy a Canali, have you? Okay. Let me tell you today, that's not faith. There's an easy way to know whether it's faith or not. Ask yourself, have I given the 50K? If you're only using faith to buy the shirt, it's not faith. It's covetousness. It's greed. Faith can buy an expensive shirt, amen?
Amen.
The same faith can use the same shirt day and night and not be ashamed. The faith that can only buy an expensive shirt is not a good one. The faith that cannot use the same shirt without being ashamed is a wrong faith. A lot of people they are needing nonsense faith. Your faith should be able to tell you, oh boy, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Whether he wears an expensive shirt or wears a cheap one, it doesn't affect what God has placed inside. Your faith cannot say that, can only be going to shops to be owing people. It's nonsense faith. What am I trying to say? Paul said, don't worry. Each day, God will send enough to take care of you. Learn to be content with what you have. Why? Because he said, I will never leave you. Never. Everybody meditate on that for a moment. The Lord will never leave me. He will never leave me. That's what we're talking about. That's, we are encouraging yourself in the Lord. He will never. He will never. He will never. He will never leave me. I'm saying to you, this is the word of the Lord. Don't be afraid. When you read all that news, laugh. Eh? Money is not worth what it used to be worth. He said, concerning you, I will never leave you. Neither will I ever forsake you. Never will I forsake you. Never. So declare, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid of economic circumstances. You need to declare it.
Many people, look, all the running up and down is because they don't believe these things. That's it. Please, I'll give you the word of the Lord. Don't complain again about where you work, about how much your money is. When they pay, rejoice. Make the habit to give out of what you have. And keep on declaring, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. You need to declare, the Lord is my helper. You need to keep declaring, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. What can the power of the economy do to me? The Lord is my helper. No matter what they say, the Lord is my helper. There is nothing that they can do to me. The Lord is my helper. You need to declare, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. Quickly open to Psalm 23. We need to declare this. Psalm 23. Psalm 23, again. We read this last time. Let's read it again. It's very important. I know we all know it by heart, but let's just read it together. Let's use our version we are using today. NIV. Use it, all right? Let's all read the same version of the scripture. This is what God is saying about today's circumstances. And I'm saying, build your life on it. You know, sometimes people say that, what does God want me to do? Let me just say this to you again. God can never give you effective leading if you have wrong understanding in your heart. Do you hear what I say?
Yes.
Look, I've heard people say that the Lord said I should leave. It is fear that said he should leave. It's fear. I've seen people tell me that, yeah, God said, like one brother will say, you know, some people have this assignment to help Nigerians relocate. You've not seen that before. Somebody said, yeah, from one of my classmates today, he said, this is your job of helping us to relocate. He said, please, I say you the discriminator. They were yapping him. So what about we old people? We're only helping young people relocate. He said, it's God that said I should relocate. I said, relax. It's fear that said I should relocate. See, let me tell something to you. It's in the Bible. You know, there's something I'm telling you that's not scripture, even if I laugh about it. The Bible says arrogance can speak to a man in his heart. True or false? Pride can speak to a man in his heart. True or false? It's not in scripture. Fear can speak to a man in his heart. And he will say it's God. Worry can speak to a man in his heart. And he will say it's God. Say, God woke me up this morning and said, my son, leave this country and go to the next one. Sometimes I look and say, see, fear is leading you. You are calling it God. But because you know we are Pentecostals, we always like to tell ourselves this thing is spiritual. See, until you get to that point in which you say, he will never leave me, neither will he ever forsake me. Do you get my point? You get to that point, you make that statement with assurance in your heart. Any voice you hear is false. Are you in Psalm 23? This is how to encourage yourself in the Lord, though. That's what we are doing. Now, this time around, we are reading NIV. It's good to just have variety. There are 6 verses. Let's read it as let's read it and shame the devil. Amen. Let's shame anxiety. Let's tell worry, get out. One, two, let's go. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now, why I read this, why? Because it said, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The Lord leads me down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He said in verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For the Lord is with me. Listen to me. In a time of trouble, look, you learn this as a child. It's as effective as ever. One of the reasons I wanted us to read in another version, just to make it look like we are reading it. Do you follow my point? Yeah, many of us have memorized it. So sometimes we have become common with it. But I'm telling you again, this is the word of the Lord to you. The Lord is your shepherd.
Amen.
You will lack nothing.
Amen.
When they tell you, in 2 years, 25% will enter into poverty, say to them, the Lord is my shepherd, I will lack nothing. When they say your currency is losing the value against the dollar, say to them,
the Lord is my shepherd,
I lack nothing. Open your Bibles again. Let's continue. We need to read this. This is what we are building our hope on. Quickly, Psalm 34. Go to Psalm 34. Further down, Psalm 34. The same book. Let's read it. This one is plenty read, you know. Because we are not going to hide. We are not going to rush it. This is our hope. Yes, sir. What do you build hope on?
The word.
What do you build hope on?
The word of God.
What do you build hope on?
The word of God.
Answer me loud. What do you build hope on?
The word of God.
Hallelujah. Let's read from verse 8. We're into verse 22. It's quite a long read. One, two, let's go. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Please, first of all, we are using NIV, right? And I don't want to switch to another one, so let's just be sure. One, two, let's go. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions will grow weak and hungry. But those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Please, pause here. All right? Remember, the arrogant deride me. But me, I do what? I obey your law. I don't turn away from the path of the law of God. He said, fear the Lord. What does that tell you? In the midst of trouble, they want you to abandon what? The fear of God. So always say, no matter the affliction, say, I will fear the Lord. Because to those who fear him, there will be no lack. Verse 11. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their cry. Please wait. Who are the righteous? Those who are building their lives on the word of God. We have established that. That's what we began from today. What does it mean to be righteous? It's not that everything he does is perfect. It means that all the decisions are based on the word of God. Anyone who does it is called is believing. To him it is accounted as what?
Righteousness.
All right. Let's read that again. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. If you know what righteousness means, what does evil mean? Now, I've said it before. In the last few days, I've said it a number of times. When the Bible talks about evil or wickedness, read the book of Psalms. He's not talking about the Assyrians. He wasn't talking about the Egyptians. He was talking about the Israelites who opposed the word of God. He was talking about those who God says you can enter the promised land. They say we can't. Don't ever forget that. Those are the people he calls wicked. I'm saying this so that Christians will extract themselves from the company of wickedness. One day, one man, I would go to church, right? Those are the winners. And I would see him, Winners Chapel, big church, Bishop Oyedepo. This guy was big enough to lead prayer, take testimony before Bishop Oyedepo would come to preach. But we happened to be working in the same office. I met him one day. We just talked. Well done, sir. It was my senior. He now made a statement, and I felt bad. Look, what I'm telling you, I did not know my wife then. So tell you how long ago, and I've not forgotten. He said, when this thing happens, I've left your country for you. And I said, this guy will go to church on Sunday. You are the one leading us in prayer. And you will pray for this same country. I'll go to church. He's the one taking testimonies. Bishop, before a man like Bishop Oyedepo will come and preach. And at the end of the day, he said, when this comes through, I've left your country for you. I'm sorry to say, that is a counsel of wickedness. I don't have time to teach about it now, but you know what Nigeria have suffered? Rejection by those that have faith. Many of our ministers, I'm sorry, please, I don't mean to be critical, all right? They don't want their children to grow and live here. Let me tell you something, eh? Look, Praise God for my children. The Lord will bless them. He has already blessed them. He will establish them where He ordained for them. But you know my own desire. Eh? My desire is just my desire. I'm not saying it must go like that. If I'm living in number one, the first one is living in number six. The other one was living on the adjacent street, number eight. And okay, and that will go to maybe next estate, number five. Do you follow my point? I don't, look. From here, now that's my desire. Are you getting my point? I'm not saying it's wrong that you want to live in Calabar and have your children live in Abeokuta. It's fine. Do you get my point? Some want to live in Abeokuta, your children live in Sydney, Australia. It's okay. Sometimes God will do it like that, self. I'm just telling you what bank he likes. Are you getting my point? That's just what I like. But where I'm going is this. God can put people anywhere. But I think it is wrong for you to think the country where God says you should minister is not good enough for your children. Personally, I think it's wrong. See, if God chooses to scatter them everywhere, we give the Lord thanks. But to have the thought that is a sign that you have prospered is that you have scattered them everywhere. I don't think it's right. And one major reason, you don't, God checks all these things. One of the major reasons why God finds us hard to bless is that we don't love our environment enough. And you pray, God says, thank you, wait, come. See this one that's praying. Just watch me give him money. As soon as they give him money, suddenly he realizes that schools in Nigeria go on strike, things don't work well, and all of that. God's a bank. You know, were you not the one there? I should help him. Okay. Ask him for an offering now. And I say, Brother Jay, please, can you give some offering for Kingdom World War? You know there's no money. God said, check. Let me check his transfer. In the last 1 year, he has spent 18 million on these two children. What you wanted from him, is it more than 1 million? I say, no, sir. So I will bless Nigeria, but not for his sake. Sometimes I try not to say these things because it appears as if I'm judging people. But we have to tell the truth. You have to tell the truth. See, prophets, let me tell you what prophets are. Prophets are the people that make things happen. They are not people that respond and change their lives because of what has happened. So when he said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm, what he meant is that if I want my children, when I want them to come out of Egypt, I will prosper Egypt. That was when they were moving. I will prosper Egypt for 7 years for them to go there. And then put famine upon the land so that they can go to Egypt. When it's time to leave, I will put 10 plagues on Egypt so that they can leave. I have nothing personal against the Egyptians. That if Isaac will sow in the land, that's where I'm going. I will cause the land to flourish. Why? Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And he was talking about Isaac. Because he led them about and he suffered no man to do them wrong. And he was talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants. He wasn't talking about Jeremiah. He was not talking about Ezekiel. Those are the people he called prophets. So what I'm trying to say, prophets are not those who say, this land is good, let's go there. They're the ones who say, where are we supposed to be? They say, here. Let us stay there and call upon the Lord of heaven to pour forth rain upon the earth. So when God wants to bless a place, he plants his prophets there. Don't forget this words I spoke. That's it, you open somewhere? Oh, we're still reading. All right, where are we? Verse what? So I was saying that, listen, those who do evil are those who oppose the Lord. Verse 17. The righteous cry out, the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Read that again. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Now see, because you're obeying God, what does that tell you? Does it mean you will never have trouble? What does God owe the people? You know what's righteous now? We know what's righteous. What does God owe the person who's righteous? I told you, I've fallen ill a number of times. Every time, I expect to get well. and I've always gotten well. Do you follow my point?
Yes.
Because the Lord delivers the righteous from all his troubles. Listen to me. Somebody is listening to me. You need money. You will be delivered from all your troubles.
Amen.
It's the word of the Lord. You need a house. You will get one.
Amen.
See, some people, when they say, one woman. It's an apostle that was preaching to him those days. To her those days. Where is he? Okay, the other side. The woman fell sick. I also went to see her in hospital. Said, but I gave my land to George. Why should I be sick? But let me just beg you again. Don't make such claims on the Lord. You will become sick out. And if you continue, you will become sickest. And if you don't repent, after sickest, is die. One major reason people don't get deliverance from God is that they feel they deserve it. Every deliverance from the Lord is mercy. When you want to pray, say, Lord, have mercy on me. Time will not allow me to take us to Psalm 33. You must know how to ask for mercy. Quick, look, it's not self, what do you call it? There's this thing about, it's not sin consciousness. To quickly say, Lord, if I need correction, let me know. Do you follow my point? The woman went over there. He said, but I gave my land to church. The righteous, if really you're obeying God, you can have trouble.
Yes, sir.
But this is the word of the Lord. He will deliver you from all your troubles.
Amen.
See, if your car is jammed and it's fault, say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, you say you will deliver me from all my troubles. The Lord will give you a better one. Yeah, he will do it. I'm telling somebody, he will do it. And now this is the funny part. Don't wait for dollar to become 700. If the car you wanted is 15 million, they're selling it. All the money you have is 2.5 million. After, they don't charge for asking. Did they charge?
No, sir.
Did they charge for asking?
No, sir.
If any pastor says that you will sell 10% of the value of the car you are looking, come to my own church, leave his own. You know what I mean by it's not necessary. You don't sow a percentage to God. God is not CBEX. It's not MMM. Do you follow my point?
Yes,
it's not MBA Forex. He's a father.
Yes,
he supplies all your needs according to his riches in glory. One guy looked at his wife. He said, this is God. He said, this was all God meant when he said, my riches in glory. Say, God supplied that to him. Correct rhymes. You know, when Dami came to my house for the first time, he said, Pastor, this is God's riches in glory. And his children he was talking about. He didn't say it with his mouth, though, but I saw it on his face. Since then, the guys are happy every day. See, children, anytime he's pretending like he's not happy with you, don't believe him. Don't believe him. Because the joy I saw that day can never end. It's everlasting. These are people that apply to God that they should change commandments. Because Jesus said that in heaven there is no marrying and giving in marriage. The Lord said, my friend, will you get that from me? Say, I just said, let me ask, just in case. They go and apply to God that you said in heaven there is no marrying or giving in marriage. I say, okay, can our apartments be next to each other? It's just a suggestion. God says, so I can be going there at night. You are not serious. The Lord is good. What does he say? He says, notice the game from verse 19. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Read it one more time.
The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all.
Read verse 21. Even we slay the wicked, the foes of the righteous will be condemned. Now listen, people say that your enemies don't want to, they are fighting. They will not sleep. You too, you shouldn't sleep. You should be awake fighting them. Read the scripture. It says, even we slay the wicked, the foes of the righteous will be condemned. But what will happen to you, his servant? Verse 22. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Read again. Read it one more time. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Now, because of time, I just realized something. I have to close quickly. But let's just read these two scriptures, then we can stop. We have so many to read. Maybe we'll continue next time. So many. Let's read a short one. Isaiah 49, verses 14 to 16. I try not to pass many comments. Isaiah 49, let's still stick with our NIV, just so that we can save time. No, I'm talking about the circumstances around, right? And the things that people say to you about, look, this is what God said. For time's sake, I'll read out to you. God said, but Zion said, and he was speaking about the church, the Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me. That's verse 14, Isaiah 49. Now, this is what the Lord said to Zion. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? He said, you know how difficult that is? He said, though she may forget, I will not forget you. He says, see, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your words are ever before me. That's what God is saying about you. Did you hear what I said? That is what the Lord is saying about you. I read this particular scripture and we end there because something just made me remember something about my time. So let me just hurry up so that we're out of here. I'm reading Isaiah chapter 54 from verse 6. Because of time, please. I'll start from verse 9. No, from verse 10, all right? Because of time, I just read verse 10. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. What have I said today? Your life is not a game of chance. Amen?
Amen.
In the midst of all the troubles around, God is watching out for you.
Amen.
I said, in the midst of all the troubles around, the Lord is watching out for you.
Amen.
In the midst of all the troubles around, the Lord is watching out for you.
Amen.
Give the Lord thanks. Just take a moment and say, Father, we thank you. Just say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say to the Lord, we thank you. Say, Heavenly Father, I give you thanks. 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 I give you all the praise. It's well with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers, for confirming the confessions of our lips as we uttered your word in affirmation. Thank you. This is a word that you have caused us to hope in. And Lord, we will never lose hope.
Amen.
You will rescue us from all troubles.
Amen.
The Lord will rescue us from all troubles.
Amen.
We believe it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And as we depart from here, we carry the presence of God with us.
Amen.
The presence of God goes with us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Quickly bless two people beside you. Say to them, this is your season. Of the power of God in the name. The second person. The last one for yourself. This is my season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, share our brethren. God bless you.